Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you on this Palm Sunday, and I pray that we might all greet our God's arrival with glad shouts of Hosanna on this day, and indeed on every day. I welcome those of you who have gathered for our worship today. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our virtual or our recorded worship. Time and distance may be separating us, and yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We are so pleased that you made time today to be together in worship before our God. We have a few announcements that we want to share this morning with you. We thank our worship leaders for giving of their time and their talents this day. So we give thanks to Sarah Lynn Keller and Wayne Zaretter, Judy Dixon, Beth Canterbury, and Tom Foster. And as always, we thank Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for all of their technical expertise that makes this worship come to you virtually. We have a time during our worship of candle lighting, so we invite you to have a candle ready to light as I light the Christ candle. So do that, and this will follow the announcements. We also have a time of ritual action during the season of Lent, and for today, you only need a piece of sea glass, of beach glass, for that time together. As always, we have a time of prayer together, and so we will be lifting up prayer celebrations and concerns, many of which can be found in the church's bulletin, but we also invite you to send those prayer requests to us during our worship, and if we receive them by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our worship today. So you can email them now to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. We also have a time, as usual, of post-worship fellowship following our worship today, and that will come to you by Zoom video conferencing, of course, and the link to that would be found on the church's website, also in your bulletin, but as well in the weekly link emailings that have gone out on Friday and also this morning. So we look forward to seeing you during post-worship fellowship. Today, we have a special guest, Becca Stendahl, who's coming to us from Mass Audubon Society. So in the second half of our fellowship time together today, she will be joining us for a conversation about environmental justice specifically. So we look forward to having Becca with us this day and for joining in that conversation together. I know that Sarah Lynn has some additional announcements this morning.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. I want to invite folks to join us on Wednesday at noon for our midweek connection and prayer. It's a time of gathering for sharing prayer requests and then praying together. And you are all welcome. You can find that link on our website and also in our weekly emails. Jonathan is available for pastoral care needs you may have during the week, and we encourage you to contact him directly at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org or via his cell phone for any of those pastoral care needs you may have. And this week is Holy Week. Today starts this wonderful tradition for us when we retell that last final week in the life of Jesus. And so we invite you to join us on Thursday evening at 7 via Zoom for our Maundy Thursday communion service. And it will also have a service of Tenebrae. You're also welcome to sign up for a half hour stint of an Easter vigil on Saturday night going into Sunday morning this week. You can find that sign up on our website or also in our email links as well. And next Sunday is our Easter service of celebration, which will be live stream just like today at 10:30. So we hope that you will join us again next week for our celebration of Easter.
People of God, we serve the Lord of light, the one who told us that we too are the light of the world and who called us to shine forth that love light as brightly as possible in the world. No sin or brokenness can take from us our identity as God's children of light or this holy luminous vocation that we each have been given. So may our candle lighting then now represent our acceptance of this identity and our intention to respond with light-filled purpose in all that we do. Let us light our candles together. The many stories of Jesus' healing ministry are filled with words and deeds. And on this Palm Sunday, we acknowledge that when he rides into Jerusalem, the people had hopes that he would heal this oppressive system that they were all living under. We know that his healing was not confined to that particular moment in history, but offers a new way of life that has made a case for compassion for all, and in particular for the least ever since.
Sorry. At the beginning of Holy Week, we see that forgiving ourselves and others is a foundation that can transform infirmities and allow us to move on. We integrate our beliefs and actions for the health of the whole. The parade of compassionate power we celebrate today is underscored by another healing story of transformation, symbolizing our ability to fuel our movement of recovery. We glorify God for beautiful words and works of wholeness and share that treasured beauty with others. We know there will still be pain, but we also affirm that love will win.
Good morning. For our Lenten song, I'll sing it through once, and then I invite you to join me on the second time through.
Leading the one, open Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Holy One, we are like the people in the crowd through which you rode as you entered Jerusalem, a mixture of the same motivations and expectations. Some of us are praising you for what you have already done, hoping for a further show of your power. Some are awaiting your deliverance, but on our terms, failing to understand your message and meaning. Some are pulling back, fearing your intrusion into our settled lives. Even as we sing, wave, and shout hosannas, we confess we are prone to all that caused your passion unto death. Meet us in our brokenness, out of which we too may simply declare, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.
I invite us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, or perhaps placing our hands over our hearts, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We continue to be in a time when we're not passing an offering plate because we are not in one another's physical presence, and yet we are in one another's spiritual presence and in the presence of God. And as we do so, we bring all that we can into our lives of being disciples, every gift that with which God has blessed us. And so we help to be the body of Christ in the world, advancing God's mission in the world. One of the ways that we do this, of course, is through our money gifts. That helps many organizations and individuals with whom we share them have some of the things that they need in order to thrive in this world. And so the particular mission and ministry of this congregation comes largely through your generosity. Your generosity of time and sharing talents, but also your generosity with those money gifts. And so we thank you for that generosity and for helping us to continue to be the church in ministry and mission. And as we do so, we remind you that there are different ways that you can make those money contributions. One way to do that is to write a check, to send it to the church. We will, of course, receive that gladly. And of course, you can also make an online contribution if you so choose by going to our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. There you'll find an online donation button. You follow that link to our secure giving portal, and you can make your contribution there. However you do it, just know that you are helping us to be the church in mission, and in particular, that mission of spreading God's love in the world and seeking justice for all. May our gifts today, then, be a sign of our offering of our whole selves, even as Christ gave of his whole self. Pray together. Loving God, we offer our lives to you with these gifts, asking that you empower us to fulfill your purposes as we share with Jesus in your redemptive, recreative action in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, you probably know that all kinds of writings from biblical times have turned up over the past 75 years or so. For example, the 2,000-year-old Dead Sea Scrolls, discovered in the 1940s and 1950s by the shores of the Dead Sea near Qumran, that contain versions of almost all of the Hebrew texts of the Bible. And also there's the Nag Hammadi Library, a collection of early Christian and Gnostic texts, also about 2,000 years old, discovered near the upper Egyptian town of Nag Hammadi in 1945, written in the Coptic language, the best known of which is the Gospel of Thomas. These give us a glimpse of how our scriptures developed over time. Some are still being translated. Indeed, some are still being discovered. This past week, it was announced that archaeologists have just discovered a new set of Dead Sea Scrolls with portions of the Book of the 12 Minor Prophets, including the books of Zechariah and Nahum, the first such discovery in 60 years. Well, today, I want to talk about another text that has recently come to light, at least recently come to my attention. It's not a scripture, but it's a secular document that gives independent confirmation of the events of Palm Sunday. And while it appears to be printed and using a very uniform script on paper that looks like it might have been purposefully crinkled, if its authenticity is confirmed, believe it or not, it will also prove conclusively that even in Jesus' time, talent agents promoted famous personalities. So I'm going to read now from my own personal translation, though I'll have to admit that my ancient lorem ipsum is a bit rusty. It reads like this. Memorandum from Burning Bush Talent Management, Jerusalem, to Mr. Judas Iscariot. Dear Mr. Iscariot, thank you for contacting us regarding our management services. We've had our eye on Jesus of Nazareth for some time. His popularity is soaring. Charismatic and intriguing, he has a commanding presence and a way with words, not to mention he's single. The word on the street is he's restoring sight to the blind, casting out demons, feeding crowds with a few loaves and fishes, walking on water, even raising the dead. We give you credit for keeping him in the public eye. Now you need professional image control. At your request, our talent scouts were on hand today when Jesus entered Jerusalem. They say the people are mad about him, waving palm branches and dropping their cloaks on the road in front of him and cheering him on. Jerusalem is ready for him. The question is he ready for Jerusalem? Jesus played the crowd well, making that symbolic trek to Jerusalem, reviving hopes of a triumphant king who would enter the capital and win back the city for Israel. No wonder a throng gathered, shouting to this would-be monarch, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord." They were longing to catch a glimpse of a giant killer like David, a man to take on Herod and maybe even Rome. Enter Jesus. But in his wake was a question. Who is this? A king? A prophet? A revolutionary? All of the above? They are confused. We are confused. And rule number one in image management is never to leave the people guessing about who you are. Burning bush talent can get you back in control by focusing on the following three areas. First, the cult problem. Despite the old prophecies about the king who rides a colt, they aren't in today. People of influence ride horses. Commoners may have spread jackets before him, but the Jerusalem elite didn't exactly roll out the red carpet. If it's power he wants, it's power he's got to show. As his agent, Burning Bush would recommend the immediate purchase of a fine steed. We offer full equestrian services and gear, and we'll cover the cost until he begins to make himself profitable. Second, the followers. These fishermen, tax collectors, harlots, and assorted lepers are tarnishing the fragile image that Jesus must cultivate. We can provide disciples, fans, and other hangers-on with style and renown from Jerusalem's top families and fashionable clubs. Surround Jesus with people who look good, and they will make him look good. Third, the name. Jesus of Nazareth only says where he's from and not who he is or who he could be. Yes, Jesus means he saves, but saves what? Who? Jesus, the Messiah, or even Jesus, Son of God, sends a powerful message and instantly creates an image. Whether he's really the Son of God doesn't matter. Act like it's true, and it will be true to the people. Now is a critical time for your friend. The pitfalls due to lack of management and dangers on account of mismanagement are numerous. You have done well so far, but Jesus is not in some backwater town preaching to the Galilean fisher folk. This is Jerusalem. This is the big time. Some don't appreciate the attention that he's getting. We refer you to the unfortunate case of John the Baptist, whose head ended up adorning a silver plate in Herod's palace, to impress on you the gravity of Jesus' situation. If John had worked with burning bush talent, he would still be in locusts and wild honey today. It's one thing if Jesus arrives simply to speak to the king prophetically. It's quite another for him to ride in, take charge, and be king. So, Mr. Iscariot, we applaud you for seeking us out while there is still time to shape and market Jesus' image. The people are ready to pin their hopes on Jesus. He could have them in the palm of his hand, but one false move and they may turn against him. And if he is going to keep the authorities at bay, he's got to keep the people's goodwill. So Burning Bush Talent recommends one simple strategy. Jesus should be whoever the people want him to be. He has the chance to rule people's hearts, and that will make him someone Herod and Pilate must treat carefully. With our help, Jesus can carve out a powerful place for himself in Jerusalem's political and religious landscape. In the meantime, at all costs, he should avoid any altercations with the authorities. Though the people say they want someone to take on the powers that be, they don't really like disturbances to the status quo. We hope you will convince Jesus to sign on with Burning Bush Talent. Place your friend's career in our experience hands, and we'll transform his shining light into the brilliance of a star. Sincerely, your friends at Burning Bush Talent Management. P.S. Your fee for helping us sign a new talent is 20 pieces of silver. You can't beat that, can you? Well, okay, you probably guessed, right, that this is no authentic first century BCE letter. And I hope my tongue-in-cheek approach doesn't make too much light of a serious and significant fact. Many of the same people who shouted Hosanna when Jesus entered Jerusalem by week's end were screaming, crucify him. They were eager to call him prophet, to call him revolutionary, to call him Messiah King. He was all of those things, but he was much more, as it turns out. A revolutionary who struck at the religion of his time and not so specifically at an oppressive government. A Messiah who entered the city humbly, ushering in not a reign of warfare, but a reign of peace. A prophet who spoke God's truth and who was God's truth. The people had the chance to discover Jesus' true identity. But when he didn't meet their expectations, didn't follow their job description, they turned those very hopes on him. As we ponder and continue to ponder this Palm Sunday story, may this Passion Week open for us to a broader understanding of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, and to the expansive healing ministry to which he was engaged. As he enters our own lives, may he arrive amid shouts of hosannas in our hearts. But let us offer these greetings, not because he fulfills our own personal expectations for him, but because we know who he truly is and the good news that he proclaimed. One who would not be managed by us, would not be managed by anyone, a free agent whose agenda was God's alone, offering God's prescription for what ails us and the groaning creation. May we allow Jesus the freedom to be who he is, that our lives might be blessed by the surprising things that can come to pass wherever he arrives. Amen. We come now to a time of being in prayer with one another, and as this community of faith gathers virtually, we look to the Holy Spirit to have us be one in heart and mind as we lift up prayer celebrations and concerns that have been on our hearts. This week, I would have us add particular prayers for Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders following escalating acts of hatred and the recent murders of 6 Asian Americans in Atlanta. Remembering that hate incidents over this past year, 2020, rose by nearly 150%, and many of those acts of hatred were directed specifically towards women. So we would keep these in our hearts and minds this day. And I turn now to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about other prayer celebrations or concerns that have been lifted up for us today. Wayne?
Good morning. Prayers of comfort for those who continue to feel isolated and frightened. May the warmth of spring comfort them and brighten their days as we look forward. Lastly, prayers of celebration go out to Beth Canterbury's daughter, Isla, who turns 10 today.
Our scriptures tell us that one day friends of a paralytic man carried him in his bed to Jesus. Seeing their faith, he told the man, "Take heart, your sins are forgiven. Then stand up, take up your bed, and go home." And he did so. Jesus said, "Take heart." The French word for heart is cœur. And besides its reference to the physical heart organ, it also means courage. Certainly Jesus's entrance into Jerusalem was a sign to people that they were worthy to be saved, the meaning of the cries of Hosanna. Courage in the face of difficulty and care in the face of being disheartened go hand in hand. Healing is not always an absence of illness, but rather a trust that God is holding our brokenness and we can move on in life with assurance, making beauty in the midst of hard times. Last week, we poured water over our sea glass, watching it transform into a shining gem. As you look back on this season of focusing on healing, what is it you learned that you want to now give away to others through your words and your actions? Take a moment to think on this, and then when you are ready, enclose your piece of sea glass in your hand and hold it to your heart, breathing deeply and inviting that spirit to show you your next steps in furthering the healing of your corner of the world, even if it is just your household or neighborhood. And keep your eyes open this week for the right moment, the right person to receive this gift of beauty from the brokenness that you have made. When you give it to them, you might say, "Take heart, you are not alone."
Take heart, beloved ones. We are not alone. Indeed, we are together in the Spirit. We are together with our God. And as we are together, let us now be together in prayer. I invite you to do so now. Let us pray. Prince of peace and Lord of glory, servant of the suffering, once you entered the city of God humbly, born upon the back of a donkey or colt, and there you revealed your everlasting kingdom. Keep us ever in that kingdom, that enthroned upon our praises, you may be born to every city upon the earth, until that day when all your people are united in the great city of God on high. Today you ride up to the gates of our hearts, seeking to enter our lives and make your home with us. Help us receive you with thanksgiving and joy, laying before you all our trophies and treasures, so that all we have, all we are, and all that we hope for be dedicated to your service. And we know that you are not one who merely reigns far above and away from us, but who comes to be with us in this good creation and with one another. Healer of our every ill, especially when we find it difficult to believe or trust that sorrow will end, we come before you to make our petitions known. So hear our cries for healing of body, of mind, of spirit. Even when we cannot seem to believe it, we know that you see beauty in our brokenness. We pray especially for those who feel there is no end to sorrow, and no matter what we do or how hard we work to bring peace and justice to our world, it feels like we cannot gain traction. We give thanks that when we cannot bring ourselves to the healing source of your love, there are others around us that, through words and actions, bring us hope once again. And so help us to also be those who offer hope when we have the opportunity on this parade of compassion called life. We pray these things as we pray so much more in the name of the healer Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Siblings in Christ, go forth now. Go forth confident that God is making us whole and holy, recovering our depth of love for all and our joy of living in this world. May the words of Jesus ring in your ears. Take heart, and may you carry the glad cry of Hosanna into this new week, remembering that we have been commissioned and empowered to carry on Jesus' healing ministry to the world, and that blessed are all who go forth and serve. Go now with the peace of Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm.